Lord, thank you so much, God, for just an opportunity, God, to sit at your feet, to hear from you, Lord, to lift hands, God, just to enter in, Lord, to that place, God, where we have fellowship with you, God, and Lord, we just glorify you, Lord, tonight. God, we just, Lord, we come empty. God, we come needing a touch, Lord. We come broken, Lord, and God, I just pray that your word, Lord, would just be a tool tonight, Lord, to encourage, Lord, just to equip, Lord, God, to, Lord, maybe just allow us to have a little more perseverance in our life, God, or, Lord, whatever it is, God, that we need, Lord, we know that, God, you're sufficient, Lord, and that you will meet that need, God, and, Lord, we just thank you so much for that. We pray this in your precious name, Jesus, amen. In Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. If you don't have a Bible, raise up your hand, please. We can get one to you. Love for you to follow along as we go verse by verse through the book of Mark. I'm excited. We're almost halfway. Mark chapter 7, verse 24. From there he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered a house and wanted no one to know it. But he could not be hidden, for a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about it, and she came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast a demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, "Let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she answered and said to him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For this saying, go your way, the demon has gone out of your daughter." Last time we were in Mark, we seen that Jesus dealt with clean and unclean food. Here before us now, we see him, he's dealing with clean and unclean people. And after this ordeal that he had with the Pharisees, last time we met, he actually traveled north to these towns. And these towns here, Tyre and Sidon, are actually Gentile cities. And Gentile cities are actually a place that the Jews did not like to go because they considered the Gentiles to be unclean people. It's very unusual in the ministry of Jesus that he would actually, you know, head into these Gentile cities and preach to Gentiles. And the reason being is that his ministry was basically focused on the Jewish people. Jesus first came to his own people, and the Bible says his own people did not receive him. And we can go to Matthew. Actually, I'll just read it for you. Matthew 15, 21, 24, we see the same account here. It said, "Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, 'Have mercy on us, on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed.' But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she cries out after us.' But he answered and said, 'I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.'" And we see here that Jesus' ministry basically was to the Jews first. He came and he ministered to his own people, which were the Hebrew people. And we see these two towns here, Tyre and Sidon, are Gentile cities. And so this is a neat thing. I love Jesus here breaking down walls of division that have been in play for quite a long time in the nation of Israel at this time. And you know what? I see that Jesus still breaks down barriers today between social classes, between different economic status, and a lot of different areas. Between the races and stuff like that. You know, the Bible says that we're actually all one, and there is neither Greek nor Jew. We're all one in the body of Christ. We're going to get to that tonight, speaking a little bit about that, that we're all unified in Jesus. What a wonderful thing that Jesus breaks down these walls of division that people tend to have, and people had them in his day, and they still have them today, and I've come out of a lot of those backgrounds myself where I've had divisions against that kind of person, or this colored person, or that person that, you know, he's got a certain religion, and we have this certain breakdown that we have, and it's called prejudicism. It's prejudice to go ahead and think that, you know what, that these Gentiles are basically, you know, they're not clean people. They're unclean people. And Jesus is going to come here and teach a little bit on it. He also says in this verse that he didn't want anyone to know it. And why wouldn't Jesus want anyone to know it? I thought about it for a little bit, did a little research. Hey, you know, I'll tell you one thing is he didn't want to know it because Jesus' ministry was very popular at this time. And Jesus, wherever he went, grew large crowds of people. He was just a very busy person. And a lot of times he didn't get to eat because of it. And his disciples didn't get to eat. But not only that, though, Jesus didn't want to do it because, you know what, he didn't want to offend people. And he didn't want to just straight out just go ahead and offend certain people. Even though he opposed them and even though that he taught against them, Jesus wasn't a kind of person to say, you know what, I'm going to go and throw this in your face and I'm going to go up to these Gentile towns just to go ahead and show you guys, you know what, that you're wrong. Jesus has a wonderful way of teaching us by example how we should live. And I love the red letters and I love the Gospels of the life of Jesus Christ, because you know what, it shows us how we should live, and we shouldn't be those people that are, you know, that want to flaunt stuff in certain people's face. We also see here that, you know what, Jesus is also looking at a time ahead. You know, when he knew right now that the time wasn't right to break down those walls. There was going to come a time, which is in the near future, where Jesus would actually break down these walls that have been raised up between Jew and Gentile. And that was a future thing that actually happened, and we see that happened in the book of Acts. We see that happened in the continuation of the gospel that was preached through the disciples. Jesus poured it into these 12 men or these 12 guys. He poured his ministry and his life, and he taught them, and then guess what? He died, went to the cross, rose again, and went to be with the Father. And then what happened was that they continued that ministry to the whole world. And that ministry that they continued, guess what? The new covenant, and basically some of these cultural backgrounds that were broken down was done by Peter and the Apostle Paul and actually going out and ministering to the Gentile people. And we see that that was future. So right now, you got to see the classes were still there. And there was still a huge division there. And he knew that time for that breaking down of the walls of separation wasn't quite ready to happen yet, but he knew that it would. And so he knew there was a time that was coming where he would bring one body together in what we call the church. A wonderful thing that, you know, Jesus Christ came to the earth. And what did he, not only did he purchase our salvation, but you know what? He unified us, mankind. He unified us in this, what we call the body of Christ, universally. We're all belong to one another. We're all family. We all have the same Father. And that's the church. And that's the called out ones. And that's what we are. We're a part of the body of Christ. But that hadn't happened yet here. It's this time. So anyways, by keeping his presence at Tyre and Sidon a little bit on the down low, he wasn't keeping it secret necessarily, but he was keeping it from being totally publicized, you know. And I like this part here. It says, you know, it says, but he could not be hidden. You know, I've noticed that Jesus could not be hidden once again. You know, you can't hide Jesus. Why? Because wherever Jesus goes, he touches lives. Wherever he walked, he always had time for people. He always had time to teach a lesson. He always had time to touch a leper. Or, you know, he always had time to pray for someone or to lead someone gently by the hand and say, hey, I want to give you something. You know, we see the Lord always ministering to people. And, you know, it's the same today that the Lord is not at a place where he cannot minister to you or to me. He's still touching lives. And you know, it's my prayer that, you know what, that my life is touched on a regular basis by Jesus. And that, you know what, in my own life, that, you know what, that I wouldn't try to hide Jesus. Or I wouldn't try to stay at a place, you know, where the Lord can't really, you know, he really can't minister to me because I'm off doing my own thing. And that happens from time to time. I get scrolly. I get sidetracked. I end up getting off. And I always, I'm telling you, I get it every single time. It's like the Lord shows me, Steve, you need to go ahead and spend some time with me. You know, we're lacking here, buddy. You know, I love you. And every time that I get a little short, or I start getting a little stressed, or I start getting a little wore out, or I start realizing, man, what's it all worth? You know, and you start getting discouragement. You ever have discouragement? Discouragement's real stuff, okay? It happens to people in the body of Christ. Discouragement's real. And you know what? It's usually discouragement's happening. It usually goes back to my devotional life. It usually goes back to that time, you know, am I really in tune with the Holy Spirit? Am I really walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh? Am I really desiring to get to know the Lord today more than I did yesterday? See that desire, we were talking about that this morning, you know, that thirst that we have for God, we were talking about it this morning. It's something that we have to have. It's like water, we got to have it. Without it, we will die. And God wants us to keep a thirst in our life for Him and for, you know, and just for the life that He gives us. And something that, you know, it's something that doesn't come natural. We have to keep those desires, wanting to have the Lord fill those desires and not going over here where the flesh is always in control. The flesh is always ruling and reigning. And so, you know, I don't want the Lord, you know, I don't want to miss the touch of the Lord tonight. You know, I come here tonight, you know, yeah, I've got to teach the Bible study. You know what? But I'll tell you, the reason we meet here on Friday nights is because we want to enter into a time where the Lord can touch our life. We want to enter in. We want to feel the presence of God tonight. We want to know that God has His hand on our life and that God is doing a work. We want to be encouraged. That's the opposite of discouragement. It's encouragement. And you know what? That's what God's Word does. It encourages us. And that's what taking a look at the life of Jesus does. It encourages. And He wants to touch lives tonight, mine included. Wants to touch us, you know, so that we can walk out. Maybe, you know, I'm a little hard-hearted right now. My spirit's a little heavy and stuff, and sometimes it just happens and other reasons why it goes on. But you know what? That's just where I'm at right now. And you know what? I'll tell you what. I know right now that this is where I need to be. I need to be here so, you know what, I can be built up and I can be encouraged and I can go ahead and maybe get another breath in me and maybe realize that, okay, God, you know what you're doing, Lord. Lord, who am I to go ahead and doubt? Who am I to sit there and say, you know what? I don't know what's happening here. You know, and I just know right now that the Lord wants to minister even to me tonight. He wants to put His hand on my shoulder. He wants to put His hand on your shoulder. It's important that we don't lose sight of that, that God wants to spend time with us. Just think, He went all the way out of His way to these two cities that were no-no places. There were places where, guess what, Jews did not go. And you know what? The Lord went all the way out of His way. And then He has this interaction with this woman. Let's talk about this interaction real quick. Verse 25 and 26. For a woman whose daughter had an unclean spirit heard about Him. Huh? Heard about Jesus? Me too. Like, you know, I heard about Jesus once upon a time. And guess what? I had to go and pursue the Lord myself. You know what I mean? I heard about Jesus. Somebody told me that, you know what, that He could forgive me all my sins. Somebody told me that, guess what, He'd give me a life that's worth living. Somebody told me that, guess what, He could go ahead and do something in my beaten down, broken, battered life that wasn't worth nothing. I didn't know where it was going to go. I was going to go somewhere real quick. I knew that. And somebody told me, so He's hearing. She heard. I like that. You know, we all heard somehow or another in our life about Jesus. Somebody told us. We heard a teaching tape or whatever. Let's go on. And she came and fell at His feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syro-Phoenician by birth. Now that means she was a Gentile, okay? That means she was not a Jew, okay? By birth. And she kept asking Him to cast a demon out of her daughter. This lady heard about Him. And listen to this. She kept asking Him to cast a demon out of her. This is a neat thing. Is there anything going on in your life tonight? Maybe you have a loved one. Maybe you have a loved one who has some demons that need to be cast out of them. Maybe you have a loved one that, you know, fallen by the wayside. Maybe you have someone who's sick in your family. Maybe a friend of yours that you're very worried about. I think we see here in this little lesson here, this lady, one thing I notice is, you know, she had perseverance. How quick do I give up in my own life? And you know what? Oh, I've been asking for this for years and years. And you know what? We get discouraged because guess what? It doesn't happen right away. It says here that this woman kept asking. And you know what she kept asking? She kept asking that Jesus would heal her daughter. you know what? Don't stop praying for those people in your life that you want Jesus to touch their life. Don't quit praying for them because you might not see no results in your life right now. Don't quit praying in your own life if there's maybe something that's hounding your life. Maybe there's something you have in your life that, you know what, that you want removed. I don't know about you. I have them. I have things. Keep asking. Persevere in it. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. Be like this woman who has kept asking and asking. And then let's see what this Lord Jesus' response to this desperate woman. She's desperate at this point, okay? Verse 27. But Jesus said to her, "Let the children be filled first, for it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." Hey, at first sight, you hear that, you go, man, what's Jesus doing? It sounds kind of harsh, huh? Lord's sounding a little harsh here. We need to understand exactly what's being said, right? Let's check it out. First thing is, she was a Greek, which means that she did not have the right to certain privileges that the Jews had right to, okay? The Jews were God's special chosen people. Basically, they occupied a special place with privileges that only the people of God had, okay? Now, also, the Jews, right, what was kind of some of the things that they had that were very different than the Gentiles? They were actually committed the scriptures, right? They were the ones that wrote down the Word of God. They penned the words that we have sitting in our lap before us. The scripture had been entrusted to the Jewish people. Okay? They also had the Holy Spirit. They had God dwell with them, right? In the tabernacle, right? When they were doing the wanderings in the wilderness. God's presence actually was with them. They had God with them at all times. Can you imagine that? That was a special time, you know? But not only that, in the temple also. And God met with them on a regular basis. And God's glory filled the temple. Remember when Solomon prayed that awesome prayer? I believe we just were dealing with some of it at the National Day of Prayer. And, you know, that verse, you know, if my people will humble themselves and pray. That comes from that step. You know, when Solomon dedicated the temple, it says the glory of the Lord filled the temple, man. And you know what? You couldn't even see anything. The glory of the Lord. And so, you know what? God dwelt among his people. So what we have here is we have that, by contrast, these Gentiles, they were not part of the commonwealth of Israel. Now, let's read this. Ephesians, you want to turn there with me? This is important. Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Ouch. That there is a description of a Gentile. Without hope, without God in the world. They did not get to enter into the privileges of God's special people. Okay? The Lord basically came primarily to the house of Israel. That's who he put himself in front of. He said he came for the lost sheep of Israel. Right? He presented himself king to that nation too when he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. And if they would have been reading the scriptures, if the Jews would have known the day that was marked down to the day when Jesus was to come and present himself king to them, guess what? They would have never missed the boat. They missed the boat. Because, you know, you go back to the book of Daniel and you can see that time was written down so that guess what? That all would know when Jesus Christ came in to present himself as king to his people. It's important you understand the dealings here that's going on between this Gentile woman and Jesus, so you don't think that there's any harshness on Jesus' part, right? She was a Gentile woman asking the Lord for something, okay? Jesus said here, this is what he says. He says that the Israelites, right, should be filled first, and it was not proper to take the children's, that's the Israelites, bread and throw it to the little dogs, Gentiles. Okay? It wasn't proper to do that, to go ahead and take, okay, and this, that's where we're at with it. So, he said that the children should be filled first. So he's not saying that they shouldn't get anything. Remember what he said? The children should be filled first. So he's not cutting her off totally. He's saying, hey, I've come to the house of Israel first. Okay? Actually, what it is, it's a test of her faith. To test her, to see that if she actually believed and acknowledged that, you know what? That Jesus came to the Jew first. That's what he came for. That was his mission. He said that right in the very beginning. Even says it, and I believe in the first part of John, says he came to his own did not receive him, right? Because of that, I'm telling you right now, guys, we receive a huge blessing. You ought to be so thankful that guess what? We are actually grafted in. God would talk about it in the Old Testament too, that he would use the Jews, you know, right, to cause and use us to cause jealousy to the Jew and stuff. Anyways, let's go. Verse 28. And she answered and said to him, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs on their table eat from the children's crumbs. Now, in effect, she's saying, yes, Lord, I'm a little Gentile dog, but I notice that these little puppies, right, they even get some of the crumbs on the table. That's a little paraphrase that I came up with, you know? And basically what she's saying here is, Jesus, there's at least enough left over from your ministry to give to me, a little puppy. I just want some scraps left over from your ministry. You know, I need a healing, Lord. I'm desperate here. And I know you're the one that can do it. Do we come with the same faith that this woman came with? Do we come to the Lord believing that he's able to do it? Or do we come filled with doubt? This lady knew that the Lord could meet her need. This lady knew that. Once again, what does Jesus say to her? Check this out. I love this part. It says, for he said to her, for this saying, go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter. For this saying, for the faith that you had, for, you know what, for putting your trust in me, for believing in me, go your way, and your faith, it basically says your demon has gone out of your daughter. That's how we need to come to the Lord. See, her faith was actually remarkable. She didn't try to twist and turn and say, you know what, Lord, this ain't right. You know what, I don't got nothing coming because I'm a Gentile. And this, she understood her status. She understood the classes that were in effect at that time. This woman came back with what she wanted. She came back with her daughter being healed. You see, this is a time, you know, I just want to explain to you so you understand. This is a time when, guess what? Jews and Gentiles were separate. This is a time where, guess what? That, you know what? That a Gentile didn't have anything coming. And guess who the Gentiles were, by the way? Us. Unless I might have some Hebrews here. Hey, I might have a Jew. I don't know. I might have somebody that can claim they have some Jewish ancestry. Do I have anybody here? Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Praise the Lord. Okay. Gentiles. That's us for the most part. And because of what Jesus Christ has done, because he came, and you know what? He came to bring that separation and bring us together and bring us all to the unity and the faith. That we would come and be one family. That we would come and be one body. Jews and Gentiles, all as one. Let's go to Ephesians, back there real quick here. We'll go ahead and end there. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to go all the way back up to 12 again. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now listen here. I tell you, it's my favorite word in scriptures. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body, that's us, okay, through the cross, therefore putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who are afar off and to those who are near, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Hallelujah. God has broken down that wall of separation. And you know what? He's brought us all together, and he's made peace. And you know what? He is the one that pursued peace in our relationship with him. He is the one that did it. You know, we should have been the one to pursue peace because we were the ones that were in defiance against him. But God is merciful, and God's good, and God has a plan. And you know what he's done? He's went and made peace with us. When we had a hostile relationship with the Lord brought peace. And he's brought us into a body, brought us into this thing called the church. And because of it now, we have the same privileges as the Jews did. We have the exact same privileges that they had. Now, don't get mixed up here, because you can easily go ahead and get some replacement theology here, which basically says the church replaces Israel. And that is not true. We do not replace Israel. What happens is that we are reaping the benefits because we are one in Christ. And God still is not done with the Jews. There's going to come a time in the history, in the future, where God will actually bring the Jews to himself. And I'm looking forward to that day greatly. But until then, guess what? We have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have been made one. And we reap the blessings of that. And it's so important to know that. It's so important to know that tonight, because you'd be encouraged to say, you know what? I am God's special child. I'm his own special people. You have a stamp of the Lord on you. You have been purchased with the precious blood of Christ. And you know what? We have a part that we have to reach out for one another. That we have to make sure that we don't get no separation in the body. When separations in the body and little divisions start happening in the body gets whacked out. The body can't properly function. And so you know what? If you realize, you know what, that we're actually one, then guess what? We'll be trying to bless one another. We'll be praying for one another. We'll be encouraging one another. We'll be esteeming others higher than ourselves. We'll be counseling one another. We'll be sharing the word of God with one another, pointing one another to Jesus. That's what I need. I need it just like you guys do. I need to be encouraged. I need to be pointed to the Lord. I need the Lord to sometimes put his hand on my shoulders, which hang down and droop down a little bit, you know? The war, a lot of casualties, a lot of things going on. It breaks your heart. Things going on around us at all times, we see. You know what? We need to have the Lord lift us up. We need him to touch the old feeble knees, shaky knees, man. You know what I mean? I get that way. You get that way. You know, tonight, glory, rejoice in the fact that, you know what? That God put his stamp on us. And that God has called us into this thing called his body. He's the head. We're called into this body. It's a beautiful, wonderful privilege that, guess what? During this time that Jesus spoke this message to this gal, was not in effect. We see one other thing that the cross of Jesus Christ has done, and it's actually brought that oneness. It's brought that unity. It's brought that, you know, to where now we do have hope. You know, before, no hope. You ever see the bumper sticker? I didn't believe that one. It's not about hope. I was going to say, don't know hope, you're hopeless. No. That's my bumper sticker, sorry. I was trying to pull that one off. It didn't work. Anyways. Stupid. Man, that's what that was. Stupid, huh? But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. We're way over here, lollygagging, doing our own thing, right? Having a good old time, we thought. And then all of a sudden, what happens? Brought us near. You realize tonight we're near to the Lord. That's near. He's here. He's here amongst us right now. It's an awesome thing. Lord, stay near to us. You know, and we got to stay near to him. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much, God, for your blood you spilt, God, going all the way to the cross, Lord, for each one of us, God. And Lord, when you counted it all joy, Lord, when you endured the cross, despising the shame, Lord, God, you had us on your mind. Lord, that's what you had on your mind. All of us, God, that we would be, Lord, here in a body. And God, we just want to worship you. And Lord, we just want to be your people. God, just give us a heart, Lord, to, Lord, just want to be near to you, Lord, because you've drawn us near to you. Lord, I just thank you so much. Thank you for everyone who's come out tonight, Lord. I pray, God, you just minister to them, Lord, that you would speak to them tonight, Lord. And God, as they go to lay their head down tonight, God, that they would just realize that they're a special people, Lord. They're a chosen generation, God. Lord, they're a royal priesthood. Your own special people, Lord. God, with all of our quirks and all of our shortcomings, Lord, God, we've got your stamp on us, Lord. What a blessing it is to be counted your child. So thankful for that, Lord. What a blessing it is, God, and to hang out with the body, Lord, to be with the people of God. And Lord, we just pray you be with each one of them tonight. Just have your way, touch them, Lord, minister to them, encourage them tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand, guys.